Bible time. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 3, the third Psalm, the third chapter, Psalm chapter number 3. Brother Souza would probably want fair mention that he has doubled his prayer efforts, and that's the reason why Miss Anna is not getting snow and he's getting 60-degree weather. He was shamed into praying more last week. Anyways, going verse by chapter by chapter through the Psalms, we'll probably stop at 119 and maybe do a couple of weeks in Psalm 119. That's a couple verses longer than some of the other passages. But we are in Psalm 3. There are 8 verses, and we're going to read the entire chapter as we head into this Psalm this evening. Part of the psalm that we typically never read is the fine print underneath the chapter title. And it tells us, you read those, it'll tell you what is going on many times in the psalm. This is a psalm of David. What's amazing about that is this is a psalm of David, right? And people would,
do you think this is a psalm of David or do you think this is a psalm of somebody else?
And people with brains, so they say, debate that kind of stuff. I don't. It's a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Absalom waged a coup against the throne, and David had to flee. The numbers were not on David's side. Now, it's hard to imagine. You're the king, but the coup has more numbers than you do. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? How increased are they? More in number than David, the king. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul. Can you imagine getting to this point in your life where you'd look at somebody and say,
there is no help for him in God.
But that's what they were saying about David. Now, what does that say? That says they don't recognize who David is, and that tells me they don't recognize the power of God.
Amen.
Do not get to the point in your life where you say to somebody, there is no hope for you. There is no hope. What a sad state to be. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord. Not to Facebook, not to Snapchat, not to my friends. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Nobody killed me in my sleep. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And I have entitled Psalm 3, Blindsided by Trouble. Blindsided by Trouble. I don't know if you've been in trouble before and you didn't see it coming. Many times you look at it and post, you look at in reverse in the rearview mirror and you think, boy, I really should have seen that coming. I missed the warning signs. And David would probably say the same thing, that he missed those warning signs in the life of Absalom. Blindsided by trouble. Well, let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts this evening. May we be encouraged and may we be challenged not to be a discouragement to others. Speak tonight to us from this precious writ of Scripture, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have read the psalm heading, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, by his son, which is where the blindsided by trouble title comes in. I could have titled it The Wounds of a Friend. You'd like to think your child is your friend. Absalom is an enemy. Now, that's just pretty sad. I also thought this would be a good title, Trouble at Home. Trouble at Home. How about this one? Devastated by a son. Devastated by a son. It doesn't matter what trouble you're going through, you could put any title to this that you wanted to and apply it to yourself. But it is a sad historical event. David is forced to flee from his own palace in the dead of night by the brook Kedron. A few faithful followers hiding from the fury of a rebel, a rebellious son. In this psalm, we have Jesus Christ, a type, and you'll see many times you'll see type. Again, the Jewish people looked at present-day application, and present-day application is absolutely David is fleeing from Absalom, his son. They would also look for a future application, and you can see, and you read Jewish writings of Messianic Jews, and they'll tell you that Jesus Christ is absolutely in this psalm, and the comparisons are interesting. Jesus Christ fled. The crowd turned against him. Who was the crowd? Well, in the worldly crowd, it was the Jewish people crowd. David, who does he have against him? The Jewish people crowd. The Israelites turned against David. His own people turned against him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his own people turned against him. We mentioned David fled by the brook Kidron. When Jesus Christ left, he went by the brook Kidron. That is interesting. Now you can say, I believe that's a coincidence. And I just say, boy, you just failed to believe in the magnificence of power of God. Again, his own people, Israel, turned in rebellion. Jesus Christ fled with a feeble band of followers, as David in this chapter is fleeing with a feeble band of followers. Jesus Christ, when he fled and went by the brook Kidron, it tells us that he drank from the brook on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ is going to be crucified on the cross. First, as you look at Psalm 3, if you don't understand that in the Psalms and the various Psalms, there are, if you try to take Psalm 3 and only read one thing, if you say, Psalm, it's eight verses, this is just one thought, then you're going to miss a lot of what the Psalms have to offer. And you're going to miss the, when I preach, I have 3-point outlines. I have three this evening. In this Psalm are four different divisions, verse 1, 2, verse 3 and 4, verse 5 and 6, verse 7 and 8, four different divisions. In Psalm 2, we talked to you about the fact that there were four stanzas as a song. And this I would not consider this four stanzas, but I would definitely point out to you the fact that there are four distinct divisions. Part of the divisions in the Psalms are designated by the musical term Selah, or Selah. And you see that in this psalm. You see it where? After verse 2. That tells you there is a break. It's going to be different. Something is going to change. But again, divided into four parts, two verses in length. And I'll just say again, if you fail to understand that this poetic license occurs throughout the Psalms, you'll do some misreading. So just look for those breaks, look for those transfers of musical tone, look for those silas, and understand that what comes in front of it and what comes after that is going to be different, and it will help you to understand. In verse 1, we have David, the brokenhearted father. And that reads, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. The conspiracy against David was strong. It was not just Absalom sitting at the gate saying, oh, you know, would to God that the king cared for you enough to appoint you a judge that could oversee this matter. But hey, I just happened to be here. What's your problem? Oh, well, let me tell you what to do. And he stole the hearts, the loyalties of the people. And I'll just say, it's kind of tough for the king to miss this kind of conspiracy. I'm sure there are some folks that went to David and said, hey, O king, live forever. You probably ought to know that Absalom's sitting at the gate and he's involved in some monkey business. And if the brokenhearted father would have taken some time to walk down to the gate and say, son, what are you doing? This might have a different end, but he didn't. Bible tells us that when Absalom came back to the city, he was there for 2 whole years, and David did not even see his face. Seldom are problems one-sided. And David did not confront. They're increased. Absalom. Absalom got the people. Hithel smelled blood in the water. Hithel, the general, joined with the rebellion. Faithful counselors, generals, soldiers following. So much so that David has just enough of a grouping to get out of the city by night. But the majority, the vast majority of people, of the soldiers, of the army, of the military, the coup is on the side of the rebel, Absalom. I'll just say trouble comes in flocks. You're in the workplace and it just seems like everybody's against you. The boss, the people, the supervisors, even the people underneath of you, they've just turned against you. Now you can give up and just quit. Or you can recognize, and you can say to others, verse 2, many there be which say of my soul. So this isn't just a lone person. This is many. You can tell us the exact number, but many. So David, King David walks in, and people are saying, there's no hope. There's no hope of God. There is no help for you in God. There's no help. What a terrible place to be in your own spiritual life that you forget or doubt or underestimate the almighty, magnificent power of the Creator that spoke the world into existence. There's really no problem in this world that is as big as creation. And he took care of that by the word of his mouth. I say, verse 2 is adding insult to injury. Not only is the injury caused to him by Absalom great, but the injury caused by, if you'll let me say, well-meaning Christians who claim to walk with God but have lost sight and confidence in the power of God to help somebody else, that would look at the king and say, there is no help for you in God. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. A man, he is a Spanish immigrant. He is in Arizona. He runs an Arizona Mexican restaurant. And in his restaurant, for years and years and years, he has posted a sign on the wall that said, law enforcement eat free. And he has provided a sheriff, county, state, law enforcement offers a free meal. Officers a free meal. He's done that for years and years and years. He said nobody's really taken advantage of it. every once in a while, a guy will come in, but people come in, they get he doesn't charge them for their meal. He said, no, sometimes people insist on paying. He said, but he always tells them, no, there's no charge. But sometimes people just insist on paying anyways. A reporter just recently came into his restaurant, looked down and saw the placard on the wall and said to him, does this apply to immigration officers? He hadn't had any immigration officers in there, but he said, yeah, they're federal law enforcement officers. Yeah, it applies to anybody. So the reporter went out of there, took his notes, took some pictures, and went and posted it. And they got the national-wide publication, and now the guy is getting all kinds of hate and negative reviews on Google. And this gentleman happens to be a Christian, I believe, from his testimony. He said they're getting hundreds of calls a day from people that are just telling them they hope they die and they hope their place burns down and they hope they go out of business. And because why? Because they've been nice. He said, so I've told my employees when they answer the phone just to say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. He said, but after a while, the phone calls, they kind of wear on you. And so a fellow doing a report on the report said, so what do you think is the answer? He said, they have a lot of hate in their heart. They just need Jesus Christ. They need salvation. That's what I say. I believe he's a Christian. He's sure preaching like one. But here is this guy who is in the onslaught of the craziness that is going on in our world. Anybody here get hundreds of calls a day? Telling you, people calling you, telling you that they hope you're dead? I don't. But this guy has not lost his focus. And what is that? That's verse 2. There is hope for them in God. There is hope. May we, our problems are not near as big as David's. They're not near as that poor guy in Arizona. We should not forget to be able to say in time of trouble, there is hope in God. There is hope in salvation. There is hope in Jesus Christ. It does not matter how vile the sinner, there is hope. Then at the end of verse 2, we have the pause, Selah. That tells us it's a musical pause, a rest, a lift up the strain, lift the pitch. Someone said it's like saying, tune the harp strings. Because they always seem to get out of tune. Tune them up because something's about to change in the music. Notice verse 3, the confidence. Again, the first two verses, it's not one vein in all eight. The first two verses are about the trouble. These next two verses are about David's confidence. David, the brokenhearted father, verses 1 and 2. David, the confident follower. In verses number 3 and 4. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord. And not to you, because you don't think there's any hope of for me in God. But there is hope in God. And David has not forgotten that. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Out of his holy hill. God, our shield, as he, God. We read this in the New Testament, taking the shield of faith wherewith we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan, of the accuser. And so David recognizes that Satan and his minions, his followers, the rebellion, his son, can drive him from an earthly throne. But you can fire me from my job. You can drive me from my physical home. But you can never drive me from God's throne. Because my hope is in God. My hope is in the Lord. My voice will not be silent in time of trouble, David said. You can speak against me, but I will speak to the Father. Man may listen to you, Absalom. Ahithophel has even followed your rebellion. But when I pray, when David prays, he prays to the one who is higher. And there is a higher authority. Here's Absalom. And here's the wicked in their attack of a Christian. We've got the numbers. We've got the power. I've got the bankroll. I hold. No, you don't. Because I and you can go to the power that is greater, and that is God. There is none. I speak to the one who is higher than all. And then we have what? A Selah, another pause. Hold on. The pitch is about to change. Has anybody ever sent you, people send me all kinds of videos, Brother Paul. So they send me videos of car wrecks. I'm not sure why. And you can go on the web and you can say, show me car wrecks. And you can watch videos to your old and gray and die, and they put you down in the ground. Car driving along and somebody, they got a green light and a car comes out of the side and smash. And you can hear the audio of the car smashing. It's really a remarkable thing. You can watch planes landing on the road and you can hear people have cameras everywhere. My favorite, I think, is the guys that have the cameras facing forward and the camera facing backwards. So this poor guy's got a camera facing forward, and then he switches to the camera facing backwards as the driver, he's at a red light, he stopped, and you can see the driver behind him. Poof! Plows into him. That's great, great evidence in court. I think my favorite one that I ever saw was, it was an overpass, east and westbound, I'll say. There's one bridge, a gap probably about the width of this room. It doesn't look that way on video. And then another bridge. And you've got the interstate, busy interstate going over top and a road going underneath. And all of a sudden this lady says, now I can't see what she sees. She's got peripheral vision going on. Lady in the car says, stop! And so her husband put on the brakes. And well, why did you say stop? And all of a sudden, between the two overpasses, an 18-wheeler has gone off the road and he goes down into the road where they're on and goes, he's got a lot of momentum by the time he hits the bottom and goes up on the other side and the 18-wheeler's kind of going like this back and forth. It's like, whoa. That would have been what? The end of your life. After watching that, I thought, if you watch this enough, you wouldn't drive. If you really thought about all the wrecks that happen every day and how many knuckleheaded drivers there are on the road from Maryland, you would probably not drive. You would probably just stay home. But we can't isolate ourselves from the world. David's not trying to isolate himself from the world, but man, knowing that we don't know the trouble that is out there, we ought to pray before we get in that car and back out of the spot and put that car in drive and venture out into the highway. Why? Because there's some wacko drivers out there. It's crazy. And what are you going to do? Let's find out. Selah. Let's take it to a higher level. Where does David go? Verse 5 and 6. I laid me down and slept. So I want to ask David what people ask me. David, how do you sleep at night with all this trouble going on? And I can hear David saying what I say. I sleep with my head on a pillow. That's how I sleep at night. With my eyes closed, I think. And Mrs. Bishop will tell you, I snore badly. That's how I sleep, in the midst of trouble. Surrounded by foe. I'll just say that the sleep of a believer, David's sleep, is not a sleep of reckless presumption or underestimation. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Verse 6. He is not underestimating. He's not saying, oh, they're really not, the opposition's really not that bad. No, he understands how big the opposition is. I will not be afraid of 10,000. No. That's not what it says. Of 10,000s of people. There's an S on that word. That have set themselves against me roundabout. It's almost as the believer, and David is able to say, I've got Absalom right where I want him. Now, how in the world can he say that? Well, we know that we've got the prophet. He's in the house, and the enemy has surrounded them. His servant, hey, guy will go out, and he says, hey, Zeke, we got a problem. And he said, no, we don't. He said, yeah, we do. We've got a problem. He said, no, we don't. They that be with us are more than they which be with them. And his servant's going, what kind of calculator or funky math you're using, but I can count 1, 2, and I can tell you they're all around. And the prophet prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And he looked out the window again and he saw that the prophet was surrounded by the chariots of fire. I'll just say, there is hope for him in God. There's hope for me in God. There's hope for you in God. Because they that be with us are more than they 10,000s that be with them. We talked about that on Sunday morning. God uses unusual, even crippled judges to give great victory to the people of God. Barak going down on the battlefield facing Sisera with the chariots of iron of 900. What is that amongst 10,000? That is, the 10,000 is nothing except for one thing. One thing and one thing alone. And that is Almighty God. God sends the rain. Rain goes down the mountain. Mountain goes in the valley. The valley is now flooded. The chariots of iron sink in the mud. Israel has a great victory. Sisera flees. Sisera is killed in a brutal fashion. What did Sisera not count on? What the world never counts on, the almighty, magnificent power of God. But we should not be deficient as we face life's problems. We should look as with David, as with the prophet, as with Deborah. I can't say that Barak was as confident as Deborah was. But God is more powerful. We go to the one who is higher. Yesterday, Mrs. Bishop and I were at Fairfax Hospital. Went to the women and children's section. We went up to the third floor, and we saw Kay Hulbert. The world would look at Kay and say, there is no hope. But I can tell you that with as much pain as she is in and much suffering that she is going through, even with the meds that they had her on, she has hope in God. She has hope in God. She is confident in her salvation. She is confident in the one that brings her salvation. And it gives me goosebumps just to think about her testimony that in her pain and in her suffering, she's able to see God. In David's pain and suffering, he is able to see God and God's salvation. The three Hebrew children, as they're facing certain death in the fires of the Babylonian torture chamber, O king, we are not careful to answer you. The God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. But be it known, we will not bow. We will not. They, the world, the government, the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar himself, would have looked at those three guys and say, I've got the power. But those three men realized he does not have the power, because we go to the one who is higher. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that confidence? Can you have that confidence? Can you say in the final, the conclusion of the chapter, verse 7 and 8, arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten. Wait a minute. They're not smitten yet. In his mind they are. He's going to be the victor. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Salvation belongeth to the Lord, my friend. Does not belong to my friends, does not belong to my government, it does not belong to social programs, it does not belong to the state or the county, does not belong to the rich benefactor, it does not belong to an earthly inheritance, but to God and God alone. Not to Buddha, not to Muhammad, not to Zeus, not a man, not a preacher, not a parent, not a spouse, not the United States of America, not communist China, certainly not North Korea, not a religious entity, not the Roman Catholic Church, but God and God alone. Not to a pope, not to a priest, and not to a bishop, but to God alone. Jonah came to that point in his life. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. He said a very similar thing. Verse 8, David said, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Jonah, in his rebellion against God, said, salvation is of the Lord, no one else. God put David here. And David has taught us to look there. God put the three Hebrew children here so that God could teach us to look there. And even in rebellion, God put Jonah on the path to preach so that we would understand that we need to look up. Father, may we so look and so order our steps and focus our eyes not on the earthly problems around us. The world does that. We see it every day in the news. And they riot and complain and kill and maim. But we look to the one who is higher. And we can confess with the preacher tonight that often we will have to say, we don't know what you're doing, but we trust you. Help us to trust with a trust like David. And we'll thank you for your salvation in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.